Jesus taught his disciples that the Christ would suffer, die, and be raised from the dead. Therefore, because of the resurrection, we now have a human in the Godhead who is our high priest. He arose from the dead, and the disciples and others watched him go up into heaven with his body. That body came back from the grave. He went into heaven, and he's at the right hand of the Father right now. And because of the resurrection, we have a human in the Godhead that understands us. That's why it's so important for us to truly believe and understand the resurrection, because not only did he provide everything we need to live life and live godly, he's now at the right hand of the Father, enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit to perform the new covenant in our lives and to provide everything that's promised in the Word of God. You see, the resurrection is a major part of God's salvation plan. What would we have to preach if Jesus Christ had not been raised from the grave? What would we have to preach? Also, he would be a false prophet because he promised after he was killed that he would come back from the dead. So I want to really look at this from the Word of God. A lot of people all over America and around the world celebrating the resurrection, they don't even understand it. And they don't understand the benefits of it, not the full benefits. In Luke chapter 9, verse 22, Jesus said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day." One reason I emphasize this so strongly, there's Christians and even seminary professors across this country and around the world that no longer even believe in the resurrection. And yet, if you cancel out the resurrection, you cancel out everything. Amen. This was God's plan. This is God's resurrection power demonstrated, and I think you'll see that as we go along. Pay close attention. And the resurrection fulfills prophecy. It was prophesied throughout the Old Testament that the Christ would die and rise and be raised from the dead. Luke chapter 24, verse 45, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day.'" He taught them this after he came back from the dead. And that's why you can really trust everything the apostles and authors of the New Testament. You can trust everything they say because Jesus Christ took them through God's Word and explained everything to them. So what they write and teach in their writings came from Jesus Christ. It's important to know that. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And that's been my prayer, that the Lord would open my mind to understand his scriptures and then enable me to teach you and everyone else that would listen the truth of the scripture. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day." Jesus taught his disciples from Scripture that the Christ would suffer, die, and be raised from the dead. You see, his resurrection was necessary to fulfill prophecy. And then Psalm 16, verse 10, I'll give you a few things here. "You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." You will not abandon me to the grave. And I got good news to you. He will not abandon you to the grave either if you're born again. Your body may die, but you're coming back. Because God raised him from the dead, then that's a pathway for you to be raised from the dead. Psalm 16, verse 10, "You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." This is a prophecy that God would not let the Christ decay in the grave. And then Psalm 49, verse 15, "But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me." You see, God's salvation plan includes the resurrection from the dead. That includes our resurrection from the dead. If God could not raise his son from the grave, how could he raise us from the grave? You see, Satan brings death, but Jesus brings resurrection life. When you serve him, he guarantees you you're going to live forever, and you're going to be with him forever. The resurrection is really important. In John 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection." How can you kill the resurrection and keep him in the grave? He is the resurrection. Jesus said to her, to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Satan discovered that Jesus is the resurrection when he tried to keep him in the grave. He had a little trouble keeping him in the grave. He couldn't. He came back up out of that grave. Why? Because he's God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 24, "But God raised him from the dead because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." If you're born again, it's going to be impossible for death to keep its hold on you. You see, when you die, your spirit man steps out into the presence of God, just like in the case of Lazarus, and you're escorted to heaven, your spirit man. But the body is planted in the grave, but one day God will restore you to wholeness, even raising your body from the grave, restoring your spirit to your body, and you'll have a glorified body in heaven just like Jesus Christ has. Amen. Amen. Through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power, Romans chapter 1, verse 4, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. See, it proved he was truly the Son of God by Father God raising him from the dead. Because he is the resurrection. Because the devil could not keep him down, because he was God, and Father God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, raised him up out of the grave. And he's going to do the same thing for you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves he is the Son of God. Because he is alive, we can all know him personally. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I come into him and sup with him and fellowship with him." Every one of us can have fellowship with the eternal Son of God right now because of Easter, because of the resurrection. He is alive, knocking on your heart's door. You say, "Well, I got smart and came to Jesus Christ." No, you didn't. He never gave up knocking on your heart's door till you surrender. That's what happened. And even as born-again believers, if you read that, where it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," he's talking about a church. People had shut him out. And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into you and fellowship with you and me." So even if you're born again, he's knocking at your heart's door because he wants to fellowship with you and spend time with you. Isaiah 25, verse 8. Just look at these scriptures, please. "He will swallow up death," he will swallow up death in victory, "and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces." He will swallow up death in victory. Death has been swallowed up by victory. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. Look and see how God fulfills his scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, 54. "So when this corruptible shall put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." You see, this is a quote in 1 Corinthians by Paul from Isaiah. It's a quote. Isaiah 53 is the one that said, "Truly hath borne our sickness and carried away our pains. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed." And here he says, "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces." And Paul says, So when this corruptible shall put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the same that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So it was prophesied that he would die and come back. And he did. You see, this is a quote directly from Isaiah. And then 55, Paul goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We do not have to fear death. I said, we do not have to be afraid of death. When you get ready to step into the grave, Jesus Christ is standing there with his hand reached out for you. Come on, you're going with me. Your body's staying here, but you're going with me. And then one day your body's going to be raised from the dead. That is when God's redemption will be complete. He didn't do a half salvation. He did everything we need. And he's going to totally restore us to wholeness in the end. I tell people, if you don't like your nose, get used to it, because you're going to have it for all eternity. I think somehow God would make me prettier, but I'll still look the same. Yeah, you say, amen. Peace, but do you think people will recognize each other in heaven? If you know each other here, you sure will. Because you're going to have the same body. Through Christ, we have victory over death. Hosea, this is Old Testament. Old Testament prophet, chapter 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I'll redeem them from death. Because of Jesus Christ, he's going to redeem all of us from the grave, ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Jesus defeated death. That's why this is so important. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Here's what Jesus said. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. You see, death cannot lock us up. Because our Lord has the keys. I've conquered the devil. I've conquered death. I've conquered the grave. And I've conquered the devil for you. And you will live on forever if you're born again. Now, if you're going to clap, you got to get loud, because we want people on live stream and radio to hear you, okay? Thank you, Jesus. You see, this is our Lord's own testimony from beyond the grave. I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Is it asking too much to ask you to believe that? You got to believe it if you're going to go to heaven. Death is defeated. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Believing in the resurrection is required for salvation. And yet you've got seminary professors, some across the nation, around the world, teaching that the resurrection never happened. This says you have to believe in the resurrection. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Believing in the resurrection is required. We must confess Jesus as our Lord. What does that mean? It means you say, I make you the Lord of my life. What does that mean? It means you're going to obey him and do what he says to do. If you are going to be successful and blessed in life, you have to believe with all of your heart that he is Lord, and you submit to him and submit to his authority, and you do what he tells you to do. Amen. He tells you to load a U-Haul and go to Knoxville, then that's what you need to do. Believing in the resurrection is required. But if he was resurrected from the dead, then guess what? He is God. He's God. Because his human body was raised from the dead, there is now a human in the Godhead. In Luke chapter 24, verse 39, look at this. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and blood as you see I have. You see, the disciples believed this so much, they were, every one of them, martyred and put to death because they would not deny this. They knew Jesus Christ was alive. They knew he was well. They knew he's at the right hand of the Father. They saw him leave this earth and go up. And so they believed it so much, they just said, hey, you can kill us if you want to, but we will not give in because we saw it. We know it happened. To me, that's one of the greatest testimonies of all for the resurrection, is that these guys believed that he was alive and well, came back out of the grave. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And they believed it so much, they died rather than denied. Do you believe it strong enough? You're willing to die rather than deny it. That's why you need the scriptures. You need to know what the word says. Verse 40, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. He said, look, see the scars? Look at my feet. It's me. And the way I understand it, in heaven, he'll be the only one with scars. Because he keeps those scars to prove he paid for our salvation. Verse 41, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? Now that, how many know what happens when a ghost eats food? Have you seen the movie? This ghost eats food and it falls right on the ground. Now look at this. Verse 41, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? He was proving something. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He says, see, look, it's me. I'm back. Give me some fish. Give me something to eat. Verse 42, they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. After Jesus rose from the dead, he still ate food. People ask me, do you think we'll have food in heaven? Well, Jesus has a glorified body. He eats food. We'll have a glorified body, so we'll eat food too. This proves there will be food in heaven. Yay. Will there be food in heaven? Some people are so addicted to food, they can't imagine going to heaven and not have food. Yay. He has a glorified body, and he lacks food. And he has a glorified body like we will have in heaven. If he can eat food, we can eat food. Because of the resurrection, there is a human in the Godhead that likes to eat food. Well, what kind of food will it be? Well, he ate fish for breakfast, and it seemed like all day long. So, but I don't know exactly what it will be, but I know one thing. It'll be better than anything you can imagine. And heaven would be, well, what do you think heaven's really like? It really doesn't matter. If you imagine the most wonderful place in the whole wide world, and heaven will be 100 times, 1,000 times better than you can imagine. Amen. And so, yes, there'll be food. 1 Corinthians 15:3, for what I received, I passed on to you. Listen to this testimony here. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, I know some people say, how do we know this has not been changed since it was written? I can tell you how. See, I've done a thorough study of all of this stuff. I'm kind of a doubting Thomas. I won't believe anything unless I can prove it. Even in modern politics, I don't listen to what these people tell me. I study and do my own research. Can you say, man, that's just who I am? And I do my own research. Well, the early fathers, after the apostles died, all wrote letters and wrote books just like the apostles did. And you can go look it up right now in the library. Matter of fact, yeah, you can download it on your computer. All those books, there's like, I don't know, I lost count, like 35 volumes. I mean, it's a giant volume in the library. And you can go to those writings and you can find quoted in those writings all the New Testament scripture. So there's absolutely no doubt that we have exactly the same as what they wrote. You can listen to some of these crazy modern people running around. Well, we just don't know. Well, bless God, I know. It has not been changed. It's exactly the same. And we've been able to discover manuscripts that go all the way back to the early church, back to the apostles, back to those early days. Yes, this is what happened. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. He said there's 500 people that saw Him at one time, and I've been talking to them. They're still alive. Wow. Though some have fallen asleep. See, these people testified to the resurrection. So we knew Him before He was crucified, and we saw Him after He was crucified. He came back out of the grave. He's alive and well. We saw Him. Amen. Today you can go to prison if you got one testimony against you. Christ had at least 500 people at one time that saw Him alive. 500 is pretty good number of witnesses. In verse 7, and then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also as of one abnormally born. Of course, that was when He was on the Damascus Road. Jesus Christ confronted Him, and He wound up laying in the dirt. He looked up and said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm the one you're persecuting, Jesus Christ. Now knock it off." He didn't say that. But He did call Him to preach to get even with Him. He did call Him to preach. He became probably the greatest preacher who ever lived until now. And last of all, He appeared to me also as of one abnormally born. Guess what? He's appeared to me. Guess what? He's appeared to you. That's why you're saved. He came knocking at your heart's door. He made Himself real. And that's why we get so excited about Easter, because we know the man. He ain't dead. He's not dead. He's alive and well, and He's alive and well for you. He's here for you. Why else would He be here? He's still here. By the Holy Spirit, He's still here. And He's appeared to all of us. Of course, He appeared to Paul, evidently, Saul of Tarsus, in the flesh. I haven't seen Him in the flesh. I've had a couple of visions of Him. I'm telling you right now, He's real. And to you and me, He has made Himself real. The New Testament church had over 500 witnesses. They did not deny the resurrection, even in the face of death. Because they knew. They knew He was alive. 1 Corinthians 15:17. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, let me read that right. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Verse 18. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. They're just dead forever. Verse 20, but now Christ has been raised from the dead. Don't worry, He's alive. Verse 21, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Adam and Eve brought death. Jesus Christ came to redeem us and restore us to wholeness, restore us to life in every sense of the word. But we receive it one way only, by faith. Jesus said, according to your faith. You have to believe this. Put aside your doubt and unbelief and believe this. The devil is doing everything he can to cause us to doubt God and to doubt the fact that He's alive and well, to doubt the fact that He's still in this room to heal us and restore us, work miracles in our lives and to direct us and give us wisdom. He wants us to doubt that, but it's true that He is alive and He's alive for you. Verse 22, as for in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. If Christ did not rise from the dead, this says our faith is worthless, and we are still in our sins. If he is still dead, he was not God. That's an important point. Yay. If he's God, he ain't dead. He's not dead. Y'all don't mind if I speak a little country every now and then, do you? Ain't. Okay. Anyway, Jesus Christ is alive forever to intercede for us and to save us completely, to heal us and restore us completely. Jesus Christ is alive forever to intercede for us and to save us completely from the evil one. Look at Hebrews 4:14. Are y'all enjoying some of these scriptures? Well, this makes it real, doesn't it? Doesn't it? In Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast our confession that he is alive and that he is here and that he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus went into the Holy of Holies in heaven to atone for our sins with his own blood. In Hebrews 9:11, look, when Christ appeared as the high priest, this is after he arose from the dead, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle. See, he had to arise from the dead to go into the holies of holies, sprinkle his blood for our redemption, and to establish the new covenant. He could not have done that unless he came back from the dead. There'd be no salvation. I'm just reading it. When Christ appeared as a high priest, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption with his own blood after he arose from the dead. Our redemption was not complete until he arose from the dead. This is just what he says. And remember, the disciples were taught by Jesus Christ himself, and of course, Paul was taught by the disciples. And so Jesus, this is what Jesus Christ taught them. And he taught them this after he came back from the grave. Not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the Holy of Holies for all, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. You see, our redemption was not complete until he arose from the dead and went into the Holy of Holies, the heavenly tabernacle, and redeemed us with his own blood in the holy place. He goes into the holy place of heaven and sprinkles his blood, the holies of holies in heaven, and sprinkles his blood that we might be redeemed from sin, sickness, disease, failure, poverty, inferiority. He redeemed us from everything the devil has if we can believe it. Amen. According to your faith, so be it unto you. Verse 15, for this reason he is the mediator of a new covenant. This new covenant is the blood of Jesus Christ. A covenant in his own blood. He did it all for us with his own blood. What do you think he was doing that for? Well, why was he doing that? You. That's how important every one of us. And if there's only one of us, he still would have done it. He has provided a new covenant of eternal redemption for you and me. And we need to get in the Word of God and really understand it. What have we been redeemed from? Just receive it by faith. Quit trying to figure everything out. You need to know it's in the Bible, but then at some point you got to say, I'm taking this by faith. Amen. It's all by faith. Hebrews 7, verse 24. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. He has a permanent priesthood. Verse 25, therefore he is able, pay attention, what I just said a few minutes ago, here it is. Therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them, to save completely. His plan of redemption, his plan of salvation is complete. He didn't leave anything out. Just like Isaiah said, truly they bore our sickness and carried away our pains. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. What is that? That means he was whipped that you might not be depressed, that you might have peace. He covered everything. And with his stripes were healed. The word healed is rapha. It means to be made whole emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially, financially, and in every way. And the word of God says plainly that he provided everything we need to live life and live godly. You can have victory because your Lord and Savior is alive and well and serving now as your high priest. And you can come boldly before the throne of grace. Jesus Christ is alive forever to intercede for us and to save us completely from the evil one. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary. Just look at all these scriptures. Isn't this great? For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. He's a human in the presence of God right now to intercede for you. This is what the Word of God teaches. That changes our prayer life. Well, when I come into prayer, I come boldly before the throne of God's provision. I know I'm coming before my high priest, and I know he's not going to turn me down. If I need something, he's going to help me until he's ready for me in heaven. And don't tell me it doesn't work. It's been working for all these years. And you can tell I've been around at least a few years. Romans 8, verse 34, Christ Jesus is he who died, yea, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God. Do you believe that? Amen. Who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. You say, well, how can he be at the right hand of God and be in me? Because it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes him real in you just as if it was really him, but he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. He lives in me by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like television waves. It makes Christ real everywhere. Okay, somebody say amen. You see, we now have a high priest who is human and who is now praying for us. Listen, he understands you. People, and I felt this way myself, nobody understands me. There's one who does. Well, nobody knows what I'm going through. There's one who does. Amen. Have you ever been crucified? He was crucified. And you haven't been crucified yet, or you wouldn't be here. And so it's us that doesn't really know what he went through. He knows what we go through. Honestly, I tell you, as a man of God, I didn't call myself, I got called. But as a preacher of the Word of God, I can tell you this is real. And he is real. And you can come right in his presence anytime you want to. And the devil fights you over it. The devil will show up too. Well, I tried that praying and, man, I got depressed. Well, it's because the devil don't want you praying. I mean, wise up. That's the reason you have a hard time reading the Word of God. That's why you have a hard time praying. That's one of the reasons you have a hard time staying faithful to the church. The devil wants to keep you as far away from the things of God as he can. Now, you're not going to have faith if you do not get into the Word of God. And you also need to hear the preached Word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And then it says, how can they hear without a preacher? Yes, you must meditate in the Word of God day and night yourself if you want to have faith. But at the same time, faith comes by hearing the preached Word. And the devil try to keep you out of church. He'll try to keep you out of the Bible. He'll cause you to get depressed when you pray. How do I know that? Because he still does the same thing to me after all these years. He just never learns. He just keeps coming back. Yay. That's okay. I have authority over him. Get out of here again. Amen. Take a depression and get out. You see, he understands us. The devil's really trying to put fear and doubt back on me recently. And, of course, now he's using age. He says, well, now you're getting older and you got to have this and you got to have that. I said, I don't have to have anything. I'm redeemed. Get out of here. And it's just over and over and over. And I guess I was getting a little weak in faith, and the Lord spoke to me, And he gave me a word he gave me years ago, gave it to me again. He says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it and you'll have it. Boy, that became so real to me. And I started, every time I pray, I remind myself of that. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it and you'll get it. You'll have it. Whatever you pray. Now, you must line your prayers up with the will of God. This is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know if He hears, we know we have the petition that we desire of Him. And so you can pray until you know what His will is. You can pray with the Word of God until you see from the Word of God what His will is. And then you believe it. And buddy, when I pray, I'm getting an answer. We had a little family problem just very recently. And I was praying, the devil said, you're not going to win this time. You're not going to win this time. You're going to lose this time. And I finally just said, get out of here. And if you don't think the devil's real, just try praying. And I got him out of there, and God gave me a confirmation that I had an answer, and God worked everything out. But what would happen if I hadn't believed in Him enough to stay persistent in prayer until I got an answer? I knew I could get an answer. And as you know, sometimes He tells me no. You've heard my number one example on that. I was praying for a blonde, and God says, you're going to meet a brunette with brown eyes. Well, I forgot all about the blonde. And I got that brunette. Can you say amen? And she's back there taking care of your kids right now. We've been hanging out together for 51, 52 years, and the miracle is I'm only 49. So how in the world you do that? I just stayed 49 now for 20-something years. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's been through the mill. He knows everything you've gone through and everything you'll ever go through. And He has a plan to even rescue you out of the lion's den. He will even enable you to walk through the fire like the three Hebrew children. Whatever you need to do to accomplish His will, He'll enable you to do it. And how do I know that? God called me and out of here to start this church. And I want you to know the devil's hit us with everything, including the kitchen sink two or three times. But God always makes a way out. He always delivers. Always. And I don't always get exactly what I want. But when I don't get exactly what I want, I expect Him to give me something better. Just like that blonde, He gave me something better, brunette. Better for me anyway. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, without sin. Now here it is. Let us therefore come boldly. I told you, you can come boldly right into His presence. What you got to lose? If He says no, at least you've heard from God. If you're praying for that job and He says no, it's because He has something better for you. And He might just know that that job is not where you fit. He knows where you fit. You see, I used to think I knew what made me happy. I found out I don't. A lot of times I've gotten what I thought would make me happy, and then I want to get rid of it. But God knows what makes me happy. I was joking about how God must have called me to preach to punish me for something. But that is just not true. When He called me to preach, I didn't want to do it. But now that I've done it, He has made me happy doing it. Because I really love helping people. And I do have, because this message works, I'm able to pray for you. And I've seen many of you healed and delivered as a direct result of my prayer time. And people say, well, when you pray, well, it's not me, but it's God's plan. Come boldly before the throne of grace. I've just learned to do that. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Grace is God's provision for whatever you need. The resurrection has was necessary that we might have a loving high priest, and we can come charging bold into his presence at any moment, day or night. We can receive anything he provided on Calvary. We can receive every promise from his word because he inspired it for us. And because he is the mediator of a new covenant, and he is our high priest, a covenant made with his blood, because he is the mediator of the new covenant, he knows what is provided, and he as high priest, he has the authority to provide it and make it happen. Nobody can say no to him. Because of the resurrection, we now have a high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God's salvation plan includes the resurrection of the dead. Because Jesus' human body was raised from the dead, there is now a human in the Godhead. Jesus Christ is alive forever to intercede for us and to save us completely from the evil one. Let's all stand.